I want to take a brief moment to share something with you guys, and then we'll go into a time of really feel like it's a Presbyterian time for prophesying over the new elder team and introducing them, giving our external elders an opportunity to prophesy over the new team and share with you anything that's on their heart specifically. But here's the vision that God continues to give me for why eldership is so important, is that you look at the Old Testament example of Israel. Anytime there was a righteous king, the whole nation prospered. When there was healthy governance, healthy leadership, it spread into every segment of society within Israel. And I think, like in the church itself, that there's something that's so important about what healthy cover looks like. And there's some folks in here, you guys have had examples of what unhealthy cover looks like and unhealthy dysfunctional leadership and how it can really impact, just like healthy leadership goes all the way down throughout the entirety of the body, so does unhealthy leadership. In this last year and a half, we've been on a journey where we've really been pressing into of how serious it is to make sure in this place that it wasn't just a, well, this feels like a good idea. But let's really begin to pray and say, Lord, who is it that you would raise up? Who is it that you've placed in this body? And who is it that you're going to help take this into the next, this church into the next realm and the next calling that we have as a whole? And we are so blessed to have Daryl, to have Jimmy, and then Michael, who's up in Amarillo, as external elders, apostolic elders, allow us to function here healthy like we had covered for the last year and a half. And y'all don't know it, but y'all felt it. You might not have seen them, but I can promise you, you've tasted and benefited from their leadership, from their prayers, from the cover that we've had. And so we'll get a chance to introduce them in a second, but I just honor you guys very specifically. I would not be standing here in this role right now if it wasn't for you guys, because I would have quit. And I can share that with you guys. There was a journey that we went through as a church to get to where we're at, and it felt like the cost was really high. And I remember talking to these men and saying, I don't know. I need to hear God, and I believe you guys hear God specifically. And if you tell me that I'm out of whack, tell me and I'll listen. And if you tell me that I'm on the right path, I'll listen. And the encouragement that you poured into me has allowed me to stand here today and eat and drink the fruit of what God is doing in this place. That is, I'm living a dream now. That a year and a half ago, I felt like I was walking through somewhat of a nightmare because I didn't know how to guide through it. And you guys mean more to me than you can possibly realize in this church. And so you guys need to know that. Now, we have chosen, we believe that when the Lord has set up eldership governance in a church as the healthiest form of government in a church. And there's several different types of church governance. There's Presbyterian, there is deacon governing. There's several different ones where like the decisions and the voting happen within the body, and there's boards and there's committees and things like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't look at any church in America or in the world and say, I think your governance doesn't, it wasn't for us. And so several years back, I really felt like we had to align ourselves with what I felt was, how can we best reach and what's the most biblical form of church government? Eldership happens to be it. Because really, in the end of the day, it is all about Jesus is King. And how has he set us up to hear from him and then represent him into a local church body? And when you read through the book of Acts, you see that playing itself out. And I think specifically of in Acts chapter 13, whenever Paul and Barnabas are released into the world to really step fully into their calling. They had been serving in ministry up to that point, and serving in ministry very, very well. But there's this moment when you read at the beginning of Acts chapter 13, it says, the Holy Spirit, as the elders were praying to him, said, now separate to me Paul and Barnabas for the work of ministry, like for what they're going to step into. So Paul at that point stepped into, he had a word that you're going to be an apostle, but he had not stepped into that place of apostleship yet. And it was in this moment through a governance, a presbytery of the eldership, hearing from the Lord together, pressing in, that one of the greatest apostles that we've seen is launched into his ministry because he was rightly related in a local church body, which was the Church of Antioch, underneath their leadership, and God released them into it. Now, we as a church are called to be a sending church. You've probably heard me say this before, We are called not to see how many people we can gather and keep here. We are called to see how as many people as the Lord sends into this place, how are we bringing radical salvation, radical healing, and radical freedom into their life, and then transformation that leads to them going out. And maybe that going out means here in New Braunfels and they're still a part of this church. But maybe part of that means they're going to plant a church, they're going to another side of the world. All of that only happens when you have a healthy church governance. And so we've been blessed to operate with that. But the season is now for us internally to have that elder board that, that could say, here, now separate to me so-and-so. And we go, yeah, we know. Lord, you're right. That I mean, I've been praying for that person for a while because they walk in a relationship with you guys. They're the folks that you can go to lunch with. They're the folks that are right here. There's something powerful about being able to know your leadership here that's beyond just executive running ministries, but something that provides cover that's really healthy and important. And so somebody asked me the other day, so what does that look like in this Legacy Church? So let me just share with you briefly. There's two sides of the church. There is the elder governance side, and then there is, okay, now we run the organization. We have oversight, you know, children's ministry, student ministry, worship ministry, all the different ministries of Legacy. And those things have to go and actually implement the vision of the church. But the elder board is one that goes and seeks the Lord for vision. And we believe in singular vision. And when you have more than one vision, it's division, and God doesn't operate out of division. And so I wear two hats specifically here in the church. I wear the hat as senior pastor that is over the organization of the church, all the leadership, all the staff, all those things like that. But I also wear this hat as the chairman of the board of elders. I'm an elder. When I make decisions as an elder, I make decisions differently than I would as a senior pastor. Because it requires a separation, not just of powers, but of mindset and vision. And that's why as we begin to go through this, and we've been able to operate up to this point successfully with an external elder board. And it probably been easy to say, hey guys, I need a little bit longer. But as an elder, I'm going, we will never reach our fullest capacity until internally we have an elder board that can pray and seek the vision of the Lord. And so what will happen is the senior pastor, I will pray and say, I feel like this is the direction that the Lord is leading us in the church. This is what we're supposed to do this next year. Here's the budget needs that we have. And I come and as a senior pastor, I go to the elder board and I present it to the elder board. Then as the elder board, we receive that and we say, okay, Lord, what are you saying? Is this the right vision for Legacy Church? Is this the right direction that we're supposed to go into? The budget, how are you wanting to stretch us? Are we supposed to create new positions? All those different things. That comes from an eldership. And then as an elder board, we'll vote over the budget, over the vision, over the direction, and we'll go back. Now, senior pastor, we have full faith in your ability to lead the church in a singular vision. So we have approved this or we've made changes with this. We hand it back over to you. And now as the elder board authority, our time is done in that meeting. Now we hand over the authority back to the senior pastor that goes around. All right, Chris. You can pray for Chris. All right, Cindy. All right, Erica. All right, Matthew. All right, Mia, right? All right, Ryan. All right, Christy. Oh, the whole team. Here's what we're going to do with this. Now let's implement and advance the agenda that we have to go after it. And the elder team over here is cheering them on, praying for them, encouraging. But the authority is that any time does the elder team walk over here and say, all right, you know what, Chris, you need to take lunch only on Tuesdays, and we're only going to give you half an hour. There's not that type of authority. Does that make sense? All right. So there's something that happens on the voting of the budget, voting for vision. That also means that there's also oversight over the health of the church. So if the senior leader or any leader within a church begins to get off into the weeds theologically, starts getting into heresy and things like that, guess what? Elder team has got the pulse of what's going on. They're hearing from the Lord. The Lord's saying, you might want to check this out. And then there's an engagement to make sure that there's security and safety, what's happening. Like, that's not actually, let's bring some correction to what's being taught. Because that's not quite biblical. The problem is in churches when you have a dictator And I'm not talking about anybody particularly, but here's what can happen. You can have somebody as a dictator who's only accountable to himself or herself and maybe to God. Then you can get off in the weeds really quickly. The way that this works in health is, as a senior leader, I submit to the leadership and the vision and the direction of not just Holy Spirit, but I trust that these elders hear from the Lord, have my best interests in mind, have the best interests of this church in mind, and are praying and saying, I've got a check in my spirit. And the trust, the mutual trust that happens in that. And I'm going to tell you, for the last year and a half, I've been very blessed by the fact that any time, and I've called these guys up sometimes going, I think I'm getting off in the weeds. Will you help bring me in to make sure I'm going down the right track or right path? To have that capacity takes so much pressure off of me as a senior leader to know I'm accountable to people. And if I was in your position as a member of a congregation, that would give me great peace to know at any point, there's men and women who hear from the Lord, who love and want to see. And here's the thing. There's not a political agenda. It's not a pet project. Here's the other thing. As an elder, all those things are laid to the side. It's not about pet projects. And I'm just going to pick on Gary for a second. Gary has a great calling and hunger and love for children's ministry. And he has served. But here's the thing. When I know this, that when Gary walks into an elder meeting, that gets laid to the side because he's thinking at a higher level and a higher plane. He's never going to advocate something out of a pet project. He's going to say, this is what I feel like the Lord is doing from a global perspective. And that is part of the way that a healthy church governance would work. And so this is a few of the examples of why it's so important. I could go into a lot of teaching about it, but I want you guys to know specifically that what God has taken us into is going to require healthy leadership. And specifically, I'm going to say this. Fathers and mothers who will give birth to revival. Like, they're going to relationally, there's a covering, there's a protection. Like, their heart is not as, well, I've got a political position as an elder here. No, they're thinking like moms and dads. And I'm going to tell you what, over the last year and a half, as I prayed and said, Lord, reveal, how do we do this? You know what I began to see? The two couples specifically, plus Kelly's coming on as an elder as well. I watched them eld without the title. They had no clue, no idea. We talked about they were on the advisory team, but there was no promise of anything. And all I watched them do is go, and they've been elding here long before the title or the authority. And they didn't need that to be effective. And I'm going to say this too. They didn't want the positions. But they sought the Lord, and we've had conversations, and it's like stepping into this thing. It's having the proper level of respect for what God's stepping us into. So I want to give you some peace that as we go into this new year, we are going to be able to accelerate in a way that we never could accelerate before. I believe that the Lord has held back on taking us into the next season until this was in place. It'd be like building a fighter jet and putting regular propeller implant, things on it. And it can get up, it can get off the air, and it might even be able to be fire a missile and be able to fire, machine gun. But it's not going to be able to go supersonic. We're designed to be supersonic. Like this acceleration of what God's taken us, and to cover the planet. There's a big vision from local to state to the world, and it's going to require what God's stepping us into. So at this time, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and invite up Daryl, Jimmy, if you guys would go ahead and come up. Also, I just want to take an opportunity to, while they're coming up, to honor Charles and Marquita Patterson. For those that know, Charles has preached here a couple times at our church and has a real apostolic calling in this quarter. The group of pastors and churches that have been gathering for the last year and a half, I guess, or so, from San Antonio up to Austin, Charles really has been the father of really helping to bring that group together and has been instrumental as well in this. And so I just invite him in, and they graciously accepted. And so welcome. Glad you guys are here. You're such a major part of my life as well, and I'm glad to have you guys in here as well, too. So, but come on up, guys. If you want to share what's ever on your heart, if you want to bring up, you want to say anything? Or?
No, not necessarily.
Jimmy, do you have anything you want to share?
Where are the two couples that are being set in? Let me see where you see your hands. I just wanted to just talk to y'all just a second. Not into all the daily routine of the running of the church and everything that Pastor was speaking about, but I just wanted to exhort you to if you really are stepping into this office, that you must have a heart for the sheep, for the people. That to me is the most important thing of all. In the New Testament, there is really no distinction between elder pastor. There are three Greek words translated by five English words, all which describe the same office: elder, pastor, bishop, overseer, shepherd. All one office in the New Testament. Now the church is messed that up, made a bishop some kind of a super elder over other pastors. That's not in the Bible, so it's okay, but it's not in the Bible. So an elder is a pastor, is a bishop, is a shepherd, is an overseer. And so to me, that's the most important thing that for you to understand. It is a calling, and you have to have a heart for the people. If you don't have that, you don't want in this place. You don't want to do it. If it's just going to be an office and a decision-making thing where we kind of run the church and keep the church in line, or worse yet, keep the pastor, you know, the head elder in line, the pastor here, that's going to be a mess. You have to have a heart for the people. And here's the way I like to describe it. I don't know what y'all do in the secular world to earn a living, but if this church begins to grow and expand, your heart is such for the people, you'll quit a $100,000 job and take a position full-time here to see, for much less money, to see that the sheep are taken care of. If you don't have that kind of a heart, you don't want this office, because it has to be a shepherd heart. And so that's what I just want to exhort you, that you have the shepherd heart, the calling of a pastor, elder, bishop, overseer, and that the church began to expand, and we got people that need to be cared for, taken care of. I'll quit my job right now, even though I make $250,000 a year. I will quit my job so that I can be able to give my full time to the work of the ministry.
That's good. The other thing is leadership is not just decision making. It's actually going before. It's hearing and responding and taking the first step. I'll just be honest with you, elders have to take the first step. Leadership is not driving the sheep and making decisions for other people. It's hearing the Lord and then doing what the Lord has said, regardless of whether you can understand it or not. A lot of decisions you're going to make as elders, you have no idea how it's going to work. But because the Lord said it, and because He's put you in the place to make that decision, then you are the ones that will step out first to lead out. And leadership, I love the idea of the shepherd. You don't drive sheep. The shepherd would lead and call them by name, and they would follow. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice. And that's one of the things, is this congregation needs to learn to hear the voice of someone who's following Jesus, regardless of whether it's senior pastor or elder. They need to hear the voice of the Lord in the elders.
And I think this idea of unity, this morning I preached on specifically talking about covenant and honor. And it really is perfect that this happened this day, is because as they're stepping into it, that's what I say, is that you guys are stepping in as a role as a mom and dad that hears from the voice of the Lord, brings wisdom into. And people won't be released into their gifting and calling without a local elder board. As a senior pastor, and I'm going to tell you the clear distinction between the two hats. As a senior pastor, it's one thing for me to shepherd and lead a local congregation, but only so much can happen. But there's something about from the spiritual authority of speaking into and hearing you that's going to release you into a purpose and a calling far greater. That's why I use the example of Paul and Barnabas being set apart. The Holy Spirit could have said, Paul, Barnabas, hey, now it's time. Go ahead and go do your thing. But that's not the way he decided to do it. He decided to come to the leadership team at the eldership team there at Antioch and say, now separate to me. And there's something about relationship. There's something about covenant. There's something about honor that was there at the church at Antioch that allowed them to step out into. And my heart's desire is that every single person that's in this room and every single person that comes on Sunday mornings, every child, teenager, and adult would be a sent one. Would be apostolic in the sense that they're being sent into and encountering the world in such a way that they go, man, there's Jesus. And so that's going to happen, I promise you. Buckle your seatbelts. It's going to come from market today. From this day forward, everything's going to be different. Everything's going to be different because we're going to accelerate in a way that we never could before, too. So Kelly, Gary and Linda, Thomas and Amy, why don't you guys go ahead and come on up. Charles McQueen, I'm gonna invite you guys up as well as local leaders in the region too. I think it would be a benefit. Connie and Beth, I would invite you guys to come as well. There's something these two wonderful ladies as well that are coming up know how to mom, know how to guide and lead as well. On the spot.
I was actually praying right before we started, and I feel like the Lord wanted me to release a word over us as a congregation, and he was bringing me this morning to Mark 14:51, and it's talking about this young man that was following Jesus as he got arrested. And he was following Jesus, and they tried to arrest him too. And all he had was a linen cloth on him. And they took him off that. And he, when he realized he was naked, he ran away. And I feel like we as a church have been hidden. And it is time for us to not be hidden, but we're going to be exposed, but the Lord is our covering, right? And we don't have to be afraid of being exposed. We don't have to be afraid of growing. We don't have to be afraid of the things we're going to do. If we're following after God, we don't have to be afraid, church. And we don't have to turn away, right? We don't have to say, I follow God, but then I turned away when I got afraid. We can keep following God, and we can say the Lord is our covering. And the Lord had me wear the scarf today. It has a verse from Jimmy, y'all's church in Hill Country. It has a verse that says Song of Psalms 8 verse 6. It says, the Lord has written his love on us like a seal. He's written it on our arms like a seal, and it is stronger than death itself. I encourage you guys to look up that verse. It's a good word for our church, right? God's love is what covers us, church. And so we don't have to be afraid of any changes, let alone the changes of growing or being exposed, because he himself will be our covering. So I just wanted to speak that over us as a church.
And I feel like I need to bring one more thing, too, because there's questions that come up about why specifically couples. And it's something also over the last year I've been wrestling with the Lord specifically, talking to him about this idea of couples. And it's not that I was looking for couples alone, but the Lord early on had highlighted Thomas and Gary specifically. But as I began to examine it, I kept hearing Priscilla and Aquila with each of these couples. And if you know from the New Testament and Book of Acts, Priscilla and Aquila were considered by Paul to be apostles. And this idea of there was a calling on their life to oversee and to guide and govern. And obviously they were rightly related in marriage too. There was something about a healthy marriage that was there. But you'll notice that in Scripture, it doesn't say Aquila and Priscilla. It says Priscilla and Aquila. And I think the Lord is Jehovah sneaky. He was trying to set something like, it's okay Like I've set my bride up very specifically, and so I'm just going to do is I'm going to introduce the new elders if you don't know them, but I feel like I've got a word for you guys, each of it specifically, and then what I want to do is just turn over the mic as you guys have a word for them to be able to release over them. We've got time to do that. We're recording this specifically, and then we'll lay hands on and commission you guys into the office of eldership. But specifically, let me go just introduce real quick. So this is Linda and Gary Long. And Gary, please give them honor as we go through. You've probably seen them serving all over the place. And they do that quite frequently. Linda's really in the toddler room. Gary is in the first through fourth grade room, and they do so well with that. And then we have Thomas and Amy Kay. Please give them some honor. And they likewise have served in children's ministry. They were in the toddler room for a long time and overseeing really our life groups launching this fall. And there's been a blessing. But here's what I felt the Lord very specifically as a corporate group is the word I heard a year ago that God gave me. It was about that I'm going to raise up Priscilla's and Aquila's. And in the future, there may be independent, like there might be a single, you know, guy or a lady on there. But specifically for this season, there was something about family and unity that God wants to do and a rightly related marriage couple who understands who they are in Christ individually, but also understands who they are as one flesh in the Lord. And because of that, become a powerhouse. So much so that their name was written alongside Paul. Paul considered them equals. And I feel like the Lord has risen you guys up for a season such as this, that you really are Priscilla and Aquila's. And if you notice that Priscilla and Aquila ministered to Apollos and many others, they weren't just leaders who oversaw a handful of people. They were moms and dads that raised up moms and dads. And if there's one thing I know that we're supposed to do as a church here is it's not just to raise up kids to be kids and grow up into mature adults. It's to raise mom and dads so they reach the next generation. They reach the next generation. So they need. And so this idea of legacy has to be considered from that specifically. And Linda, I just want to say this. You are such an incredible warrior for the Lord. As I've looked at this team specifically, each of you are uniquely designed and gifted in your personality and the way that you see from the Lord, but also I'd say in your function in the Spirit. And if there's anybody I want to go to war with, it's you, Linda Long. You make the devil tremble. You're mighty in the Lord. And I love the fact that you know who you are and that you don't ever have to apologize for that. I also love the fact that you're a mom who knows how to mother and care for other people. But we are going to be successful because we have somebody who does champion intercession and warfare. Because we're going to war. We're going to war. Gary, you are the man that I look to that is one of the most steady, awe-inspiring people I know but you would almost know you were never there because you never draw attention to yourself. But you are a wise, I keep hearing eagle, you're a wise eagle. You soar above, it seems like it's without effort. I know you have struggles that you go through. But because you constantly have your wings, and a bald eagle doesn't have little sparrow wings. When a bald eagle spreads out its wings, it's a wide span. And what you've done with those kids has allowed me to be a dad, not have to worry about being a pastor to my kids specifically. And what I keep hearing the Lord say is he's paired you guys very specifically, very strategically with the intercession and war. But in your wisdom, you have such an incredible wisdom that don't ever be afraid. You don't have to apologize for anything. But the Lord's going to use you to turn hearts that would never have listened to him before because you walk in such wisdom, and it's going to open up. My ears are burning right now. So, Father, right now, I just pray that you continue to release over him more wisdom, more hearing, more. Lord, take this gift of wisdom that he has and let that only have been the training wheels. Lord, that we're taking the training wheels off right now so he can soar for you. He can get the full picture that, like a bald eagle that rises up on those thermals, he's going to be able to see the 60,000 foot view and speak what you're doing strategically. Come, Holy Spirit. Thomas, specifically for you, the way that you see the world very pragmatically. There's been parts of this journey that I would not be here if it wasn't for you, because you had an ability to stop. I'm a very emotional person. You know, I'm passionate. And it's been your pragmatism in this stage, in this transition, that allowed me to step back out of my hurt and my fear and hear from the Lord through your ears. And I've made decisions differently because I've thought in my mind, how would Thomas see this and how would he think about this? As a senior leader, it's caused me to become a better man and a better leader because I can hear your voice and I can almost guess what you would say. It's because the Lord has designed you for that. But what I want to say for you is he's releasing something over you wild. As I prayed for you this week, it was like he knows me in the safety of where it's been at. And you've gone to, I mean, you guys were missionaries on the mission field serving a hard group of people in the environment. So I know you know what it is to step out beyond boundaries. And so it's not like you don't know that. But what I think is like there's something inside of he's planted you to be wild, to strip off and be decisive. Somebody who's wild knows how to be decisive. Like they just go for it. And the season he's taken into, I just declare that those things that might have held you back, that even in your pragmatism, there's this side of Holy Spirit wildness because you've learned how to foster this place of intimacy with him that's going to allow you to reach heights that you never would have been able to think about or figure out on your own or map your own way through it, that it's going to require you being wild. And that's when you discover the path. Because you're willing to go beyond anything you ever thought was possible. And because of that, you'll lead people into a place of that wild path. Because remember, the path to the kingdom of heaven is narrow. Sometimes it feels like it's overgrown. And then it takes somebody who knows how to seek him in the wild, secret places. And Amy specifically, even from the other day when we were talking, and this Today at Life group, you're such an amazing mom. This team needs somebody, and Jimmy hit it, who knows how to care for people. And likewise, where I hear the pragmatism coming from him, I hear in your voice, how are you taking care of those hearts? How are you thinking about them to make connection and do it? And so he's paired you guys specifically as well, rightly related together. Rightly, separately, pragmatism can go off in this direction, and relationally, it can go off this direction. But together, there's a safety, there's healthy boundaries. But specifically for you, you have such a favor on your life that you could not make people not like you if you tried. And it will open up doors into the secular arena, which is already happening. We've already seen that through Kids Club, but that's just the beginning part of it, is the influence that you have is far greater than you possibly imagine. And what I feel like he's going to do, and I'm supposed to pray over you, is boldness and confidence. You hear from the Lord. You know him. Now act in boldness and confidence based off of that intimacy with him. Not how much you know, but how much you know him in relation. So Father, I just thank you right now. And I feel like I'm supposed to just to lift off the lid of what's possible. Taking off that head knowledge so that her heart, which knows you so intimately, can fly and soar. And I thank you, Lord, that you've brought a mama who knows how to take care of kids so well and has done it from little ones all the way now to college and beyond. Lord, just release that in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to invite you guys, if y'all have any words specifically. Yes, no?
I think this is for all of you. And I think I know it's a fearful thing to be put in a place of responsibility to God. I know a lot of times you think responsibility is to the church, but really it's responsibility to God. My counsel to you is to only say what God's saying. Now, sometimes that's hard, but if you're hearing what God's saying, say it. But don't say what you want to say. Because in that time of being an elder, you are representing someone far greater. It's kind of like you're standing behind what God has put you in for responsibility. So handle it with care, because it is what God is wanting to say. And you'll think, well, I don't know how to say it. That's not the point. If he said it, say it. And I want to do something at the end that I think I saw when I walked in tonight. But the main thing I want to say to each of you is have the courage to say what God's saying. Don't be afraid of hurting his feelings or their feelings or anyone else's feelings, because it's not about feelings. It's about following what God is doing. Because when you follow God, you're going to step into that jet stream of what God's wanting to do. And so I want to break off fear and intimidation that the world wants to put on you to say, who are you to be up here? Who are you? Well, here's who you are. You're a blood-bought child of God, called for a purpose to fill a position for the glory of God. That's it. So do it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and release it to the Lord. He will protect you. He's your covering. Elders have a covering. While you're a covering to someone else, your covering is the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and He will protect you.
Congratulations. No, I mean that. I really do. When you said yes, and by the way, you said yes a long time before you were asked. When you said yes, the Lord began to place a new mantle on all four of you. Really, this is for you and Kelly as well, Jay. Psalm 78, the very last verse of Psalm 78 says, David led God's people with integrity of heart and skillful hands. And so I just want to pray an impartation over you. How do you lead with skillful hands? Not with the knowledge that's in your brain already. You lead with skillful hands with the wisdom and revelation, Ephesians 3, that the Lord gives you, that you cry out for, and that the Lord gives you. That wisdom and revelation comes with creativity. So you're getting ready to go places as a church. I felt this the last two times we've been here. You're getting ready to go places as a church that are not on anybody's map. And so you're going to need the wisdom and revelation and the creativity that comes with that for the role that God's called you into. So I just pray, Lord, bless all six of these elders with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the creativity that comes from you, Lord, to be able to see things they've never seen and to be able to discern things that's never crossed their minds. And so in the name of Jesus, Lord, I impart to this group of servants that you love with all of your heart. I impart to them this creativity and skill that comes from the spirit of wisdom and revelation in you. Amen.
The only thing that I'm getting, I need to ask a question. And I'm exempting you, Jay. Of you five, who carries the teacher anointing? Somebody here carries a strong teacher anointing. Who is it? Somebody has the ability to teach. There's some of you, don't be ashamed. Some of you have the ability to teach. and to not so much just exhort, but to teach and instruct. Here? Here too? Here too?
You and you.
I think Kelly does too. I think Kelly does too. I just feel that there's a strong teacher anointing in this group. I feel it strong in this group, that there's several in this group that have a real anointing to teach. And what the Lord is saying to you, quit holding back. Quit holding back. Go for it. I mean, I pray that God give you ability to see and to say, to see it in the Bible and to say it. So to see and to say, may you have an ability to see and to say, and to say it in a way that people perk up, like E.F. Hutton. They listen when you speak, when you talk, when you teach. That's right. Amen. They pay attention. They pay attention. And so those of you who carry that teacher anointing, step out, do it, teach under the anointing, teach with boldness. God will bless you. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
I want to speak specifically to you ladies. You're not sidekicks. God has called you to be an elder in this congregation. Tonight is the night you're going to carry that anointing. So you are your husband's helpmate, but you're not the sidekicks. You're equal among people. So you have as much to say and as much to hear and as much to articulate. And as women, you're going to take a very wide path of leading other places and other people to understand that women aren't sidekicks in the church. You know, we're anointed, we carry a load, we carry God's heart, and we have a voice. So ladies, I encourage you, use your voice, use your anointing, make a difference. You don't do it with arrogance, and you don't do it with a power play. You do it with humility, just like everybody else. All the men have to do it with humility too. But I'm just encouraging you, don't be a sidekick. Don't be just going, well, whatever the men want to do. Because God didn't say these three men. He said these three couples, and he said it was all equal. So I just encourage you, step into this place and be a role model, not only for this church, but for generations.
If I might do something, I saw something when I walked in, and I was thinking, where in the world am I going to find this? But she had it around her neck. This, I want y'all couples to come here. I think this is a symbol, a sign to your congregation. I want you to put you like a team would put their hands together. I really saw a bond, a cord, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I really saw a covering that God is going to put you together. Your love for God first, your love for one another. Unity is going to be the key to what God is doing in this elder body. Unity, that's not uniformity. That doesn't mean you're going to have a different opinion, a different way. And you may see it three different ways. And God come up with something by putting the three parts together that it becomes something none of you saw by yourself. So you're following God. You're not making up a way for the church to go. You're following God. But the key is going to be your love for Him and your love and respect for one another. And I advise you, hear one another. You're going to, some, you may be strong to where you think, well, I know God told me that. It's okay. Say it. But then you release that back to God for Him to bring it together. And so, Jimmy, if you would help me, I would like to pray that the Lord would, however you can wrap this around their hands. Notice I asked you to do that because I didn't have a clue. And I want you to stretch your hands toward them. That we're going to ask for anointing of an uncommon love and grace that's going to come upon these. Father, we're asking right now that what you have joined together, it sounds like a marriage, what you have joined together, that Father, you would put their hearts in tune with you, Father, I'm praying for an unfolding of revelation that it's going to take all of them to find out your voice and to find out your direction. And Father, they're not going to be able to do it one or two or three. It's going to take every one of them. And Father, what you've joined together, Lord, I'm praying that you would make it powerfully real. You said if one could chase 10, two could chase, then how many can these chase of what you're going to be doing in the kingdom? And so, Lord, we bind them together in your love and in your grace. And, Father, we say what you have put together here, Father, that not any human and not anything from hell could divide it. And, Father, we're asking for union in Christ and union in purpose. Father, we're asking for an unfolding of revelation of what it means to be an elder. Mm. Let them write a new page, a new way, and a new direction. And Lord, we bless them and we speak your love and grace over them, not in our name, not in the name of other elders, but of our elder brother, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Bless you. Bless you. Just be still and see what God's saying to you right now. What's he saying to your spirit right now?
I feel whole again.
Honor. What an honor to be in this company.
And we look to the heart, each other's heart.
Joy, the joy of everyone together.
I feel that we're a part of something that's bigger than all of us combined.
Yeah, I feel stronger.
I feel whole again.
That's good. Can I speak to the congregation?
Please.
Would that be okay? Let me say something to you as the congregation, because, you know, I know you're excited for them, and yet there's this thing, well, where does that leave us? You have really, you know, people say, well, we're not going to vote on anything. Well, you have a vote. You have a prayer life. You can pray for them. If it's going in a direction, see, these people don't hear God for you. They hear God for direction of the church. You hear God for you. You keep your response to God first, your relationship. You watch them and where they're going. I think God's going to be saying the same thing to all of you. Okay? And you're going to want to walk and follow. They're going to be what is that Paul says, cutting the way for you? They're going to be carrying the load and cutting the way. If you can respond to God through another, God's going to bind your hands with these. And it's going to be amazing what God's going to do. He gives you a choice. By no means is this authoritative that's going to take away your responsibility to hear God for yourself and to respond to Him. You're going to have to walk in unity with them just as they're going to want to be walking with you. But here's the thing. They're going to be walking before you. Watch them, love them, pray for them, and then expect God to do miraculous things, because this body's walking together. Amen. All right?
I feel like we just need to, if you guys would go ahead and come forward here. And if you guys want to help me, we're just going to anoint them. If you guys would surround them and... I'm just going to go ahead and commission them.
Yeah, you need to be in here too.
Okay. Works for me.
Jimmy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we anoint and, Lord, we release what you're going to be doing.
So we now just, we ordain you as shepherds over this flock of sheep. Care for them, love them, lead them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you guys want to say anything? Why don't y'all go ahead and stand with me, and we're going to just go ahead and pray. Father, what a joyful day that I can taste and see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. And that truly, Father, your promises are true and good and faithful. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that the many words you've spoken over this house and over the direction, Lord, that we're starting to see them come to fruition. I thank you, Lord, that today a prophetic word that was given to me 2 years ago has now come true. That as pillars were removed, that new pillars would be put in place and they would be stronger than it was ever there before. I pray right now, Father, a release over Legacy Church.
Yes.
Over the city of New Braunfels. Over the region and corridor of this I-35. Over our great state, our free country, and over this world right now, I declare revival has come. Awakening has come. That the kingdoms of this world would become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. That as the waters cover the earth, the glory of the Lord will cover the earth. Lord, we pray for amazing provision, crazy provision, Father, for the vision that's coming, Lord God, for the things that you're putting our hand to, Lord God. We pray for supernatural financial provision. We pray for supernatural people resources, Father, influence, Lord God, inroads, Lord God, into government, inroads into the entertainment industry, inroads into the education area and arena. Lord, inroads into marriage and family. Lord, inroads into everywhere that you have designed us to take authority over, Father, that as a group we stand forward and we say, this is our assignment, and we accept it, and we will run with it. And we thank you, God, that a year from now we'll stand here and we'll look back and be able to give testimony to amazing, crazy miracles, signs, miracles, and wonders. We will be celebrating the number of people saved and healed and set free. And that you're lighting a fire that will not quench and will not stop. And we just ask this, Lord, come and have your way. In all things, Lord, we put you at the highest point. That you're the purpose. You're the point. You alone, Jesus, be glorified. And so I feel like we're just supposed to pray the Our Father together right now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Give him some praise. So that concludes our service time. I love you guys so much. Thank y'all for coming out and supporting us. And get ready. Spread the word. Amen.